So, folks, are our hearts open? Thank you. Our hearts need to be open to receive the word. We heard Lorata shared earlier on about planting seeds, and there's a return. Huh? And our hearts, folks, are it's like the soil. We need to make sure that our heart is fertile soil. Amen. So today, I want to share, and I know I say this quite often, I want to share a very important message. You know why it's important? Because I'm sharing out of the Word. And in actual fact, every time we gather together and every time the Word of God is shared, it's important. And like I said, we need to ensure that our hearts are open to receive, but not only that we receive God's Word, that we apply God's Word, that we become those who are doers of the Word of God. So here's the title of my message. Finish life's journey well. Think about that for a moment. Finish life's journey well. Now, we are on a journey, each one of us that are here today. We are on the journey of life, folks, but we need to ensure that we are those that finish this journey really, really well, right? You know, the journey of life is sometimes illustrated in the Word of God as a race. Is that true? We see it. I'll show you some of the scriptures this morning. And that means that you and I are in a race. Now, it's not so much about you and I finishing first. It's about you and I finishing well. Finishing well. We need to make sure that we keep our focus on ensuring that we finish life's journey really, really well. You know, right throughout the scriptures, right throughout the Bible, we see people who start off well and then they finish badly. We see people also that run and then they're doing well and then they stumble and then they fall. And these are people whose walk with the Lord becomes a crawl. There are people like that as well. We see this in the Word of God. But folks, we also see people who start really, really badly. Really badly. And finish well. And we need to ensure that we are those who finish well. So I want to encourage us here this morning. No matter how you have been doing on your journey so far, however it is, okay, there is still time for each one of us to make sure that we finish well. Finish well. And for those of you that are already doing well at the moment, I also want to encourage you just to keep on going. Keep on going. Don't stop. Carry on doing what the Lord has called you to do. And don't slip up and then finish badly. This is what I'm saying. Right. And so there are many people who will run the whole race. They start off and they start doing really, really well. And they run their whole race doing well, okay? And then right at the end, they finish badly. And I want to say this morning, think about that and don't allow that to be you. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to be having a look at a person in the Bible who I believe is a very, very good example of somebody that finishes life well. And this is now Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, he finished his life well. And, you know, he wasn't always called Paul. He was first known as Saul, and then he became Paul. But let me tell you something about Paul. Paul didn't start out well. He didn't start out well. Paul was a serious persecutor of Christians. Paul was a serious persecutor of people like you and me, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And in fact, we see in the Bible, you remember the story of Stephen when they started to stone Stephen. They started to throw rocks and stones at Stephen and wipe him out. They killed him. Who was in the background? Oh, Paul. Paul the Apostle. He was there. He was there giving his support. He was there giving his approval, you know, and saying, well done, guys. Well done. Keep it up. But, folks, the Lord gave him an opportunity to a fresh start. Isn't that incredible? God's love for us gives us a fresh start. And the Lord may be giving you, one of you or many of us here this morning, exactly the same opportunity that He gave Paul. And that is to have a fresh start. Fresh start. You know, Paul's last act was really one of faithfulness, even as he faced execution in a Roman prison. But he finished well. So now let's see what we can actually learn from Paul so that we can ensure that, you know, we can learn from him and make sure that we apply these things in our own lives so that we finish well. And remember, too, that Paul wasn't just anybody. This is the same Paul that wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That Paul, the guy that started off so badly, that was a persecutor of Christians, ultimately wrote most of the New Testament as he was led by God the Holy Spirit. So now listen to what Paul has to say to Timothy as Paul now approaches, as he approaches death. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verses 6 through to 8. But as you turn there, or you can look at the screen, we'll put it up on the screen, just a little bit of a background here that Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy to pursue God's call that is on his life. And as Paul was writing to Timothy, I believe Paul is speaking to each and every single one of us that are here today to pursue the call that God has placed on your life. So let's start. In fact, let's start from verse 1 so that we can get a bit of the context here. He says, I charge you in the presence of God, Paul speaking to Timothy, and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge to the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Then he says this to Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. God is saying to us, folks, let's grab those opportunities. When you are stuck in a queue at Pick and Pay, and there are 70 people, and there's one teller, use that time. Start to engage with the person in front of you. Start to engage with the person behind you. And there's a wonderful opportunity right there for all of us to start to share. And ask God to help you that you are able to speak to that person and then weave in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We need to be teachers of the word once we've been exposed to the word for a while. Is that true? For you and I to be teachers of the word, we have to know the word. And to know the word, we need to spend time in the word. Is that right, folks? So there's a responsibility on each and every single one of us that are believers in Jesus to get into the word of God so that we can become effective for the extension of his kingdom. Now it gets interesting what he says to Timothy. Listen to this. Verse 3. For the time is coming. How long ago did Paul write this? Approximately 2,000 years ago. Is that true? The time is coming, he says, when people will not endure sound teaching. People don't want to hear the truth. People don't want to be exposed to the truth. They don't want to hear sound teaching. And then he says, but having itching ears, ears that are itching, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So there we have it. Written 2,000 years ago, it's like for us today. People not wanting to hear the truth of the gospel. People coming up with all type of myths and a whole lot of stuff that doesn't feature anywhere in the Word of God. But they do not want to hear the truth. He says their own passions. And then he says about these people, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You know those people, okay? Come up with all types of stuff that God has never said. And they hear this stuff and they start to believe this stuff. And they live their lives embracing the stuff that God hasn't said. Folks, I want to tell you that this is happening in the times that we are living in right now, and it's starting to accelerate. We better know that. You have these people that will come to church and they will actually sit in church, and basically what they probably won't verbalize it, but they're sitting there thinking, I'm going to sit in this place and this dude better preach what I want to hear. Just what I want to hear. And listen, if he doesn't preach what I want to hear, I'm up out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else where I'm able to hear what I want to hear. And that's what they do. Okay? Just rolling stones, gathering no moss, not plugged in anything. You know, they have their own interpretation of the Word of God, but what they think about the Word of God is nowhere, anywhere in the Word of God. Right. So these people will say, you know, okay, you know, I don't like this church, and they don't preach what I'm going to, what I want to hear, I'm out of here. You will hear them, you know. Don't talk to me about hell. I don't like that. I don't believe in hell. Have you read what the Bible says about hell? Okay. Don't talk to me about sin. No, I don't like that. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about tithes and extending the kingdom of God. I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about Jesus is the only way. Don't talk to me about the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't tell me about the virgin birth. I don't want to hear any of that. That is just fairy tales. And they will move on. Lives falling apart, okay? Because they know better than their Creator. And I'll read it again, verse 4. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Verse 5. And he says, that's for you, okay? Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Folks, we need to endure suffering, but when the Bible talks about enduring suffering, it's enduring suffering for the King and for the kingdom, not because of our stupidity. Okay? Oh, I'm suffering. It's like, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus because I'm just doing stupid things. No. It's about suffering for the kingdom. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist when you are in Pick and Pay's queue. Do the work of the evangelist right there. Then he says this, fulfill your ministry, right? Fulfill your ministry. In other words, what Paul is saying, that each one of us have a ministry. Do you remember when Richard spoke here last week? Do you remember he said that he went to his granddaughter's sports day? And none of these children had practiced. None of them had practiced anything. They just had to go to sports day and they had to run. And they all lined up and some of them just took off and they just excelled while others really, really couldn't do it well. Okay? But folks, it's the same with the giftings that God actually gives to us. We all have different gifts. We all have different callings. And we need to be mindful of the gifts that we have and the calling that is upon our life. Don't try to be, you know, what somebody else is. Be who God has called you to be. Then it's easy. He said that, you know, he's watching some of these kids. They just incredible how fast they ran. And others just can't do it. It's the same. It's the same with our journey. All right. For I'm already, now Paul says to Timothy, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. He's in prison. He's going to be executed. Okay, he's in the departure lounge. He's about to move into his eternity. Then listen to what Paul says. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We need to ask ourselves, can we say that? All right, we're not at the end of our lives, but can we say, I am busy fighting the good fight. I'm busy finishing the race, and I'm busy keeping the faith. We should be able to say that as Paul said it. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me, Paul says, the crown of righteousness. Folks, we are going to get a crown as we go into eternity. Listen what he says. This crown is laid up for him, but he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And then he says, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All of us who love the Lord and are called by his name. Isn't that amazing? So folks, we see like Paul is nearing his execution. But one thing that's very interesting here is that he is still concerned about other people while he's in prison, about to be executed. He's still concerned about other people receiving salvation. Okay? So he encourages Timothy, he says, you know, to discharge his duties of his ministry, whatever Timothy's ministry is. Now I want to ask us a question. How is it that this guy Paul, who's facing execution, okay, who's coming to the end of his race, who's coming to the end of his of life's journey, can still focus? How can this guy still be focusing on others coming to Christ? How can it happen? All right? I want to ask you at this point, are you concerned about the salvation of other people? Or are you not concerned, you know, you say, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven, and we're not concerned about other people who are destined to spend eternity in a real place called hell if they reject God's gift to mankind, God's free gift to mankind. Are we concerned about that, folks? So how is it that Paul, in that situation that he's in, can still be concerned about other people's salvation? Okay? You want to know? You want to know how and why this can be? No. You don't want to know. Okay, I'll move on. You do want to. Okay, then I'll tell you why. You know why Paul can still be concerned? He's in prison. He's about to be taken out. But that he can still be concerned about other people receiving salvation. And the answer is because Paul is focused on the eternal and Paul is not focused on the temporary, which is our time on planet Earth. Paul is living with eternity in his heart and is not concerned about his 70 his 70 years or 80 years or 90 years or whatever it is on planet Earth. Because he is preparing himself for eternity and he's living with eternity in his heart and not the temporal. So folks, I want to say to us today that if we are going to finish our race well, if we are going to, we need to also make sure that we are focused on the eternal and not on the temporary. There has to be a mind shift that instead of thinking of our 80 years, that we start to think about the eternity. There's no end to it that we are moving into. We then get a different perspective, and then we can be in a position like Paul, who's in jail, about to be taken out, that can still be concerned about people receiving Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So he says that, you know, we should be finishing well. So my question is, what does it take now to finish well? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Thank you. What does it take to finish well, right? Folks, finishing well, right, requires fighting the good fight. He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. It doesn't say that we must start to fight the other people in church. Or that we must start to fight the other church down the road. He says we fight the good fight. We fight the good fight. So then the next question should be, so what does fighting the good fight mean? Hebrews Now, Hebrews, we don't know, no one's sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, right? But Hebrews describes fighting the good fight as running your race, your life, that you run your life with perseverance and endurance. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. We lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely. Don't you find that? Huh? Sin wants to just cling on to us. Huh? He says, we lay that aside, and let us run with endurance. Another word for endurance, I looked it up. This dictionary is all wonderful. Perseverance. Describe that. So we need to, in life, we need to be running our life with endurance, and we run it with perseverance. He goes on to say, the race that is set before us. And again, we need to be challenged by the Word of God. What I've just read here, running your life, your race with perseverance and endurance, does that describe you? Does that describe you? Because if it describes you, it also describes the relationship that you have with the Lord. Or is it just a lot of people, like in many places, of course not here, okay, not this church, but in many churches, yes, and this church, people are in church and they're just playing church. No relationship with the Lord. I go to church. I go to church. Okay? I go to church on a Sunday. And then, you know, we live the rest of the week like, you know, we've never ever known what a church is. But then we're back in church on a Sunday. Folks, passively going through the motions of having a relationship with the Lord. It shouldn't be like this. Folks, the Christian life is not a walk in the park. Let me tell you again. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. The Christian life is not a walk for sissies. At all. Becoming a Christian may not necessarily mean that your life is now going to be easier. But I can tell you one thing for sure, that it will make sure that and provide you with the ability, first of all, to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of turmoil. You can, right, whatever you're going through, you can experience an incredible peace. And also, it will allow you to experience a joy that is so strong that it becomes your strength, because the Word of God says that the Bible, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So any preachers that stand there and tell you, you know, get born again, become a Christian, and life is just a bed of roses. How does that sound? It's not like that. But one thing's for sure as well, that at the end of your journey, you're going to be moving into an eternity that God has already prepared for you. Amen. So, we must persevere, folks. We need to fight the good fight. You know, maybe the next question, I keep on saying, let's fight the good fight. Maybe the next question should be, okay, so in this good fight, what is it that we are fighting for? What is it that we are fighting for? There are two things that actually go hand in hand, and we see this in Hebrews 12, verse 1 that I've just read. Let me read it again. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience, or let us run with endurance, or let us run with perseverance. What does that say? Endurance. Right. The race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what we do. So we need to fight against, and this is something that we have to do. We have to fight against the hindrances and the sins and those things that seek to come into our lives and invade our lives. Okay? And we need to fight to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. It's not easy keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. It's a fight to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Don't keep your eyes focused on the hindrances and the sins and the temptations that Satan will bring and throw into you, into your life. Folks, we can only focus on one thing at a time. We're either focusing on Jesus or we are focusing on these things, the sins and the temptations and all of those things. Is that true? I don't know if you've noticed, but we are not chameleons. I was thinking about this while I was preparing. Maybe a chameleon can keep one eye and focus on Jesus and the other eye on all the other things that surround it. But we can't. We need to keep our focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And again, I want to say that this is not easy to do. It's not as easy as it sounds. Not easy. It's a fight. It's difficult. Let me tell you, wherever there is a fight, a battle is involved. Because if there's no fight, there's no battle. Fight the good fight of faith. There's a battle. We need to see it. Be prepared. Step in, and we step into the fight. As part of us stepping into the fight, we need to also ensure that we put on the armor of God, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6. Is that right? Right? All the pieces, all those armor. But what's interesting is that when you look at all the different parts of the armor that we see in Ephesians chapter 6, ultimately they all have something to do with faith, which is our walk with the Lord. It's important that we keep strong faith, folks. Strong faith. So how do we keep strong faith? I'm so pleased you asked me that question. Folks, how do we keep strong faith? Spending time with God. Spending time in prayer. And prayer is not complicated. Prayer is you and I speaking to God and being able to hear God when He speaks to us. That's communication. Go study communication. Page 1, chapter 1, verse 1. If it's in verses of any book on communication, will tell you that communication is a two-way process. And it's the same with our relationship. When we have a relationship with God, it's us speaking to God and God speaking to us. Right? So that's one of the ways of actually keeping our faith strong. Spending time in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. That's how faith builds up. Doing a Bible study as a group or connecting with people. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, how many of you are plugged into the connect groups that we run in this church? I don't want to lay a number on you. But, folks, this thing is important. Why is it important? Because God wants us to have fellowship with other people. And if we're not in these groups, let me say we should be in these groups. Lerata said early on, okay, come and speak to him or Kevin. Have a chat to them afterwards and get involved in one of these. Because being connected in a relationship with other believers is part of how we actually grow in faith as well. Right. Being accountable to other believers. Folks, no loose cannons. Do you know what a loose cannon is? We don't want loose cannons in the church. Because a loose cannon in the church will destroy the church. I'll tell you what a loose cannon is. You know those ships, those old wooden ships with the sails? They used to go out and they would, you know, get involved in battles and so on. And they would have those. How many of you have seen those big, it's like cast iron cannons? Huh? And obviously those things were strapped in, because if those cannons were not strapped in, as that ship goes from side to side like this, if that cannon comes loose, man, that thing weighing I don't know how much would go from one side of the deck to the other side of the deck and smash everything in its way, on its way. And then when the wave tilts the ship on the other side, it will come back and it will destroy everything in its path. And it will probably go right through the side of the ship and into the sea. A loose cannon is destructive. Let's not be loose cannons, folks. Let's not be loose cannons. Amen. So also doing things, you know, these things will actually assist us, what I'm saying, you know, in terms of fighting the good fight, okay? But again, the main thing is that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. You know that there are things that will help us to do well in our Christian journey that enable us to finish well. There's a whole bunch of things. Remembering each one of us, the Lord has spoken to us about what our role is on our journey. But finishing this good fight or this life that I'm speaking about, it requires that we do this, but also that we finish the work that the Lord has actually called us to do. So it is one thing making sure that we fight the good fight, but we have to make sure that we finish our work. Now is the question. You ask people, well, what has the Lord told you to do? What's your calling? I don't know. I don't hear the Lord. I have no idea. Having a clue. Huh? Paul tells Timothy in verse 7, I fought the good fight. And then he says, I have finished the race. Okay? Does this mean that when we get near the end of our lives, and you know, then we just go out and we die? That's it, right? The answer is no, folks. Let me tell you something, especially for some of us who are senior. When we retire out of business, whatever it is, it doesn't mean that we now put our feet up and retire from the Lord and our relationship with Him. He has a wonderful opportunity because we've got more time to start to pray and pray for friends and family that may not be born again. To start to spend time praying for your local church, this church or other churches, wherever, you know, whatever. Okay? Opportunities, because you've got all of this time to get out and involved in things. But the problem is, too many people, as you know, we kind of retire in business, we think, well, okay, that's me done, and now it's time to expire. No. There's plenty that we can get involved in. In Acts 20:24, listen, who wrote Acts? Who knows who wrote Acts? No, not Paul. Okay, Luke wrote Acts. Dr. Luke. Okay? This is what Acts 20:24 says. But I don't place any value on my life if only I can finish my race. So he's saying that he's got a race to run, and by implication that each one of us have got a race. That I can finish my race and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus. What is the ministry? He goes on to say, of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So if you don't know, you're not hearing the Lord telling you what your ministry is, well, of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Of testifying, you speak it out, the gospel, that is the good news, of God's grace, God's undeserved, unmerited favor. We tell people about Jesus. So he wanted to complete the task that God had given to him. And again, I'm asking you folks, what is the task, think about it, that God has actually given you to do? Now, if there's any doubt, if you're one of those saying, I can't hear God, I don't know what... That's not you. Okay, so we all know here what God has called us to do. Just in case there is one person in this church that doesn't know what God has called them to do, I'm going to give you a couple of pointers. Because this is what He's called all of us to do. Folks, the Great Command and the Great Commission. So if you feel that you're not hearing from God, start off with the Great Command. Okay. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can you love God more? Can you get closer to God? That's the starting point. Then he goes on to say, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. So if you can't hear from God, a starting point would be starting to spend time with God, that you just start to love Him more and more and more. and that you start to love people more and more and more. That's part of it. And then the Great Commission, folks. If you're not hearing from God and telling you what to do, the Great Commission is something that you can start to apply in your life, right? Telling people about Jesus. Going into your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, wherever you are, just telling them about Jesus. Amen? It's quite interesting. In Colossians 4:17, Paul tells a friend, I don't know who this friend is, and this is as if Paul is standing here and he's speaking to us here today. This is what he says. See that you do the work which the Lord has given you to do. Right? So, God gave Paul a special mission for his life. What is it that the Lord has given you for your life? Because he has a different plan for Paul than he has for each one of us. God has something special for each one of us, folks. Okay? Now, I'm going to make it easy for us, because a major part of your purpose as a believer in Jesus is not complicated. It is found in what we might consider to be just normal life. This is what God's called you to do. Just normal life. In other words, husbands, making sure that you love your wife and that she knows that she's loved. God's told us to do that. Wives, respect your husbands. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't say wives must love their husbands. Don't know why. All right, he must have a good reason for that. But he does say that, wives, respect your husbands, right? Because I think when a man is respected, you know, he responds in the correct manner. Maybe, you know, it's the thing, you know, for us, fulfilling our purpose, maybe it is raising our children in a godly manner. That's part of what God wants for each every one of us. And not only our children, to be able to speak into the lives of our grandchildren, the next generation as well, okay? Also living our lives in a way that truly glorifies God. So just there, I've given us enough to focus on if you personally haven't heard from the Lord. So folks, we need to make sure that we do these basics, okay? Because if we're doing the basics, this is specific tasks that the Lord actually has given to you and to me and to the rest of us will not be marred and destroyed and discredited if we do the basics well. Unfortunately, many, many people, you know, want to just take that specific thing that God has given them to do, which is good, but they don't do the basics well. They don't honor they love their wives or honor their husbands, and they don't raise their children as they should be raised. Amen? So that's important. And let me say this too, you know, that if we don't do these things, we're going to reach the end of our lives. As we get towards the end, we're going to finish our life's journey with regrets. There's going to be regrets. Let's choose today that there's going to be no more regrets. So for us to finish well, Colossians 4:17, see that you do the work which the Lord has given you to do. So finally, finishing well requires faithfulness to Christ. In verse 7, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. We have to make sure, folks, that we keep the faith. And us keeping the faith is not God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to make sure we keep the faith. Continue placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 is a very, very good definition of faith. It says, faith assures us of the things we expect and convinces us of the existence of the things we cannot see. So there are times that we are just going to have to step out, folks, as believers. We need to just step out in faith, okay? You know that there are people that are actually called to full-time ministry. Incredible anointing where God has anointed couples in an amazing way. But they don't step out, right? The reason is because they can't see how it's going to work. They can't see how it's going to work. I know with Christian and myself, you know, we're here today, and we're here because we made a decision to actually step out in faith and do what we believe the Lord has called us to do. Has it been easy? Huh. No, right? Sometimes, you know, I know we shouldn't look at back at, you know, the past. But folks, you know what it's like when you are in corporate business? You know, I mean, we were very blessed. We had a Land Rover Discovery, and before that we had a Mercedes-Benz 300. And we, you know, and oh, the big thing is we were guaranteed a salary every month. Remember those days? It was awesome. Would I change it? Would Christian change it? No. We wouldn't change it. Okay? So what I'm saying, it doesn't mean it's easy, but folks, let's just do what God has called us to do. Okay? So if we're going to finish well, we need to be those, you know, or that we're faithful and we start to follow and do what Christ has called us to do. And yeah, it is not always easy. And when we don't know, and you know, sometimes we reach a point, I see even with our walk, sometimes it's just a little step, step by step. You know, you take the next step, and then you take the next step, and so on. And, you know, it's like the Lord actually gives you the faith for the next step, right? So we need faith to finish well. Is that true? Do you know that faith, do you know how to spell faith? R-I-S-K. That's how it is. And folks, we have to be careful here because a lot of people, and then they call it, we call it blind faith. They step out and they do something they want to do that God hasn't told them to do. And then when the wheels come off, guess who gets the blame? God gets the blame. So when I say faith is spelled R-I-S-K, this is after you and I spending time in His presence, inquiring of Him, and believing that we've heard from Him. And once we've heard from Him, you know, we step out. But make sure that you've heard from the Holy Spirit before you do anything, because otherwise, you know, the wheels will come off. So, just as I finish here today, I want to ask us a question. Will you ask yourself a question? What is it? This is a question. Ask yourself, what is it that I can do right now that will put me in a position to finish well? I'll give you a couple of examples. Okay, it may be an easy one, that you need to be baptized. Right? You may be sitting today and you haven't been baptized. So you need to be baptized. And folks, this thing of baptism is important, all right? First of all, if you were sprinkled with water when you were a baby, I'll say, but you haven't been baptized. Don't think you've been baptized because somebody sprinkled water on you. Because the word baptized, just by the name of the word, means to be totally immersed. So if you were sprinkled with water, you need to be baptized. You haven't been baptized. Okay. The next thing, even if you, and Christian, I've been to one of these, where you take the one we went to, how old was that baby? 6 months. So we went to the so-called baptism of a six-month-old baby in, I won't mention the denomination or the type of church, and they had a trough of, it was like a glass bowl so everybody could see, filled up with water. And you know what they did? They immersed the baby. Like baptism, you have to be totally immersed. So they took little, well, I wasn't going to say Johnny. Okay, I was going to give you a hint of the church that it was in. Okay, let's call him Johnny. So they took little Johnny, and now they baptized Johnny, who's now 6 months old, totally immersed, underwater. One, two, I think, you know, and it was like underwater. We baptized Johnny in the name of, underwater, in the name of the Father. Pull old Johnny out, and Johnny grabs a breath in the name of the, sure. 6 month old Johnny underwater, under the sun, you know, in the sun. Johnny comes out the water, and the Holy Spirit. My question is, was Johnny baptized? I don't believe Johnny was baptized because the Bible is very clear where it says, repent and be baptized. Now, Johnny is 6 months old. How does Johnny repent? I'm just saying. So, folks, we need to get our theology right on all of these things. So, I'm just saying, maybe for you to finish well, you know, if you were like Johnny, or maybe you were sprinkled, maybe something you need to do is get baptized. Number one, maybe you need to be more faithful in the job that you're doing, you know, because the Bible's very clear that as we work as unto the Lord. Amen? And sometimes we got a job and we just get quite slack. And we kind of idle at about 60, 70% when we should be working 100% of that. Maybe that's something that we need to do to make sure that we finish well. Okay? Maybe, you know, it's making sure that we, like I mentioned earlier on, that we raise our kids in the things of God. And speaking to the lives of our grandchildren if we have grandchildren. Maybe we need to be more faithful when it comes to supporting the ministry. Tithes and offerings and all of those things. Because, as Lerato mentioned, that is part of worship. Maybe we need to be more committed. This is an important one. More committed about telling people about our testimony. Because the testimony of how you receive salvation, let me tell you, is powerful. It's like God anoints people's testimonies. And the Bible says they overcame him. Do you know who the him is? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So when you get an opportunity, and you know, maybe when you're in that pick and pay queue, start telling those people about, you know, make it easy for yourself, how you got saved, whatever, I don't know. The Lord will lead you in all of that. But I'm saying, folks, these are things that we can do to make sure that we finish well. So, and also we might need to just step out in faith and just do what God has been telling us to do for ages. We still haven't done it. He's still speaking. We're still not hearing. Maybe now's the time, you know, that we start to step out. So, finally, what can you and I do right now? Or what has God laid on our heart that you and I should be doing right now? Just think about that for a moment, okay? Because, folks, these are the words that we long to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen.